This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
725, Sports Radio, 929, the game's morning shift, Squid Billy, Mike Johnson, Mikey P, hanging out with you here on this beautiful Thursday morning. Hopefully not as windy today as it was yesterday.
Dude, yeah, it's cold.
I thought the trees in my yard were going to blow over yesterday.
Yeah, the wind was cutting yesterday.
Blustery.
I got something to say.
Uh-oh.
I want to get back to what we were talking about before the break.
Okay.
Because...
you've been stewing over there for a little
bit. Well, here's the problem. I'm being missed. I don't know if it's right or wrong. The only way you to know what this team has done is right or wrong is what happens on the field. And if they can ever continue, they build something and win something. You know, just become a winning franchise again. 7 straight seasons, I think, without a playoff appearance. The best record you've had was 8-9 in that stretch, if I'm not mistaken. It's not about right or wrong for me. But I sit here on March
6th
at 7:26 in the morning in 2025, and I refuse to fall in love with a player in this draft.
Yeah.
And
seems like a mistake I've made over and over again.
Because I don't want to be sitting here on, Dylan, quickly find me the day of the draft. I believe it's April
23rd, sounds right.
Whatever. But I don't want to be sitting here the morning after that, Friday morning after the draft, and upset.
April 24th.
Okay, so April 25th, I don't want to be sitting here. I'm upset because they did not draft the player that I wanted. When you ask me if they sign an edge rusher or if they sign another secondary player, if that means it eliminates them from drafting another edge rusher or another secondary player, I can't tell you that.
Right.
I would love to say in a perfect world if they go sign Josh Sweat, that means we're getting Jahad Campbell or Jahdae Barron or Will Johnson. Okay? I would love to tell you that. But I can't, because the reality of the situation is you don't know. Because the one thing they have been very upfront with is they will draft the best player on their board, the player they like the most on their board, no matter where he plays. And if last year didn't prove that to you, is it right? I don't know. It looks right now with Michael Penix Jr. It looks right with Bijan, and it looks right with Drake.
Let me reframe, and before we go into that, let me reframe the question then. In the way that it was meant to be asked, and the way it was meant for you to answer. If the Falcons go out and sign a cornerback in free agency, should that eliminate them drafting one in the first round? That, to me, that's why I'm like, we're answering two different questions.
Well,
because it probably should. Because you've got so many holes defensively.
Well, how many cornerbacks do you need on the field at one time these days? On average, more than not.
3.
Okay.
You need 3 good ones.
So,
and you still got Clark Phillips in your back pocket, by the way.
So if I can upgrade that position, I can't sit here and tell you that it should eliminate them. Just like if they go sign an edge rusher in free agency, I don't think it should eliminate them from drafting one. Dude, get as many as you need. At this point, play difference makers on defense, you have 3. You have 3 difference makers on defense. 2 of them are in the secondary, and the other is a linebacker.
Yes.
Okay? It's Caden Ellis, it's Jesse Bates, and it's A.J. Terrell. Those are the 3 recognizable playmakers on this team that you could ask fans, that you could ask, I think, NFL people, and they would say you probably have 2, 3 2 to 3.
Yeah. And I think those conversations around all three of those guys will continue moving forward. What would they be under Jeff Ulbrich's, defensive scheme? I don't think it's going to change that much. I think Raheem was always in charge of this defensive scheme.
Yeah, but it changed when he paid attention more last year. You changed. You went from a team playing 6-7 yards off the ball every freaking snap to moving those guys up and hugging more late in the season. That's why you got more sacks late in the season.
I think that's just and again, we got to get another. I think it's just simply changing the game plan, saying this ain't working. Let's move to something else. Speaking of moving to something else,
that's why you have a defensive coordinator that you trust, though, that he can that's why guys get fired when they don't recognize what's not working. And they don't have an adjustment to make.
Well, yeah, and look, this is for me. It's one of the things that really sticks in my craw is when a coach comes out and talks about how he doesn't have the players. Okay, well, change what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like you're not always going to have all pro corners and Revis Island and John Abraham and whoever else, man. It's just not going to be a thing. All right, we talked about Joey Bosa earlier. The Chargers moved on from him. He spent 9 years with the squad. Another guy on the flip side of that conversation. How about Max Crosby? Come on down. Pay that man his zeros. 3-year extension, $106.5 million. The highest non-quarterback now in the NFL, man.
You know where he was drafted?
Congratulations. 35.5 average annual value.
You know where he was drafted?
Do I know, like, where in the draft? I don't know. It's a good question. Third round? Higher?
Fourth round.
Yeah, fourth round.
They developed him.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Developed him. And look, you have to develop yourself. So you have to want him to come in here and work and do work to get better in the offseason and during the season. But developing players is a real thing.
I will say, I think when I look at Max Crosby, he's got a unique personality. I don't know that he and I would be boys, but I have no problem with the Raiders paying him because I have no doubt that he's going to scratch and claw to get the most out of himself.
When you find elite players at the positions of the important positions in this league, you pay them.
Yeah.
It's why you pay quarterbacks, left tackles, star wide receivers, and star edge rushers.
Yeah. In other NFL news yesterday, Joe Thuney, the all-pro left guard / left tackle from the Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
Yeah.
No. I don't think he's going to Chicago to play left tackle.
No, he's not. He got traded to the Bears yesterday, and they also have they also brought in Jonah Jackson as well from the Rams. So they've kind of remade their offensive line. Look, they are doing different things, investing in different places. They know that they need to shore up the offensive line. I, as an offensive lineman, would look at you and tell you that does not mean that Caleb Williams is not going to get sacked a ton. If Caleb Williams doesn't understand his outlets and timing and everything else, he's still going to be among the league leaders in getting sacked. You got to get the ball out, but this will help.
With those moves and those guys obviously coming in, does that mean maybe they're less likely to sign Dahlman? I know Dahlman plays center, but those guys are going to be next to whoever's in there. And I think sometimes I've always kind of think you could maybe go a different – you don't have to pay the top free agent center if you've got two pretty good guards next to him.
I think it probably does. And honestly, if I'm Drew Dahlman, I don't know that I want to play in Chicago in front of Caleb Williams, but I guess if the zeros line up, I would. But yeah, I think it probably does probably take them out of the running for a Drew Dahlman. Yeah, I would wager to guess that.
I read somewhere that Dahlman was a really good run blocker, but he was a bad pass blocker. And I've said I don't want to pay Dahlman because when we've talked about it, Ryan Neusel started 8 games last year,
and
Dahlman started 9. Let's not, though. Dahlman fits the scheme here, as you've pointed out. You said it's a perfect scheme for him, but he's like, I think he had a pass blocking win rate of like 96%.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Pretty good.
That gets kind of pushed around a little bit too much in terms of the conversation around Drew Dahlman. All right, look, we got to go to break. And when we come back, I want to continue some of these NFL conversations that we're having. Still a lot of other news. We got to get to Zach Bond, DK Metcalf.